Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you to Oregon Lutheran Church. We're glad to have you here this morning for our worship service. We have a couple of announcements here this morning. It's not in the bulletin, but the seniors will be meeting here Tuesday morning at 10:30, and from there they'll get on the bus and go to China Grove for the meal that they have planned. So just keep that in mind. Also today at 11:45, we have the OKFC and youth in the fellowship hall, so see Rita for that if y'all need any more details on that. Also, this Thursday night at 7 o'clock, the finance committee will have a meeting, so please make note of that if you're on the finance committee. 7 o'clock this Thursday, we'll have a meeting. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Hubert Goodman is in Northeast. So he went over there a couple days ago, so keep him in your prayers, and we'll be checking in on him. And I think, any other announcements? I think, Kay, you wanted to say something?
Good morning.
Good morning,
and Happy New Year to everyone. Yes, we're entering a new year here at Oregon without a minister. However, we're very fortunate that our former vicar, Jordan Davis, is still residing in our community while he is studying online with the seminary, and will be willing to help us out with some preaching on Sundays and with our visitation and other things. He is no longer our vicar, but he is a seminarian, although we'll probably still call him our vicar. Jordan, and several of you have asked me this, no, we can't just ordain him and call him as our minister. Jordan is going to be studying for a couple more years. He hopes that he'll be finished in about 2 years and can receive a call in the NALC and be ordained as a minister. But that's probably going to be about 2 years, so we wish him well in all of this. And we do appreciate his willingness to help us in this transition period that we have before we receive our interim pastor. I have met with the dean of the Carolinas Mission District, that's Reverend Nathan Yoder, and with our PCAT. Now, you're going to hear PCAT a lot. PCAT stands for the Pastoral Call Action Team. And the chair of that group is Reverend David Hefner. And I've also met with Ken Reed, who you'll recall was one of our guests here last Sunday. He's the minister at Concordia, but he's soon to be named the dean of the Yadkin Valley Conference. I've met with them, and all three of them will be helping us in our journey towards calling our next minister. They do hope to place an interim pastor with us, hopefully by Easter. And that's what I've been told. I do have to tell you, and I think you've probably heard this, that there are five other congregations, NALC congregations, here in Rowan County without ministers. We have been advised not to form a call committee quite yet. We are waiting for the dean of the conference and the PCAT chair they're working on their schedule because they've got a lot of congregations to meet with. They assured me this week that hopefully by late January, early February, they would be meeting with our church council, okay, and talking with us about how to select our call committee. So that is going to be happening soon. We'll discuss the call process in detail then. And then, hopefully in February, our church council will select a call committee who will then be meeting with the PCAT team and going forward. So they will be working with us. I've had good contact with them so far, and they've answered most of my questions already. And so they will be guiding us and studying the needs of our congregation as well, as we study ourselves and take a close look at ourselves. So this is an update of where we are in our call process. They have advised me to secure some supply pastors, not to totally lay it all on Jordan. So you will be hearing some supply pastors in the next several months as well. And again, we are fortunate to have Jordan here with us and happy to help us. And thank you for that, Jordan. We appreciate it. So thank y'all.
And please stand for our invocation, confession, and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Amen. Now we invite the children forward for the children's sermon. Morning. Morning, y'all. How's everybody doing? Good. All right, y'all. How y'all doing? You good? We're kind of after Christmas and New Year's and stuff now. We're starting the new year and everything, right? Yeah. And so I want to talk to you about something pretty cool today, I think. So we know that the Bible talks about Jesus' birth, right? It talks about when he was born with the star and the shepherds and the wise men and all that, right? And then it talks a lot about when Jesus was older, right? And he's doing his ministry and everything. And then there's one place in the Gospel of Luke where it talks about Jesus when he was 12. Do you remember that story? Do you remember that at all? He was 12, and his family went to Jerusalem, and he went to the temple with his family, and then his family was in a big group, and so they were all started to go home to Nazareth, and so they were leaving. And then after they were gone for like a long time, they realized Jesus wasn't with them. What do you think his parents did? I think so. And so they went back to look for Jesus, and they found him in the temple. And even though he was just 12, he was in there talking with the teachers and all the people that we would think of as like professors. And he was in there talking with them, and they were all amazed at his understanding of everything, of all the theology and all the stuff that we think about with God, that God's told us at that point with Jesus. And so guess what? Guess what his parents said? They're like, what are you doing? We were so scared. And what did Jesus say? You know? He said, well, you should have known that I was going to be here in my Father's house, the temple, in God's house, doing that kind of stuff and working for God. Do you know why? Because even when Jesus was a young person, he still had the priority of trying to make it so that he was working on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And so I think from that story, y'all as kids can think, I can still try to do what Jesus says and make a difference. Even though I'm just a kid, I can make a difference with all my other friends and even with adults. And so I think that you guys should remember that this year, that you can work for the kingdom of God. Does anybody know a way that you can do that? Tell other people about Jesus and how much God loves them, right? You can care for your neighbor. Most importantly, we make sure that we put God first and that we love him with our whole self. Can you do that? Can we try to do that this year? I think that's a good thing to try to do this year. All right, so let's pray, and then you can get a sucker and go back to children's church, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for all the things that you teach us, and we thank you for showing us that even when Jesus was a child, he was still able to put you first and to love you and to love his neighbor. And we just ask that you help all of us to do that this year, especially these children. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all, grab a sucker. Please stand if you're able. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
This is the peace.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we might be made to abound in good works. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Pass the peace to one another. Peace be with you. 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 Peace be with you.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Kings. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and has given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. Here ends the reading.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now let's read responsively from Psalm 119. "Oh, how I love your law all the day long it is in my mind.
Your commandment has made me wiser than my enemies, and it is always with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my study.
I am wiser than the elders, because I have observed your commandments.
I restrain my feet from every evil ways, that I may keep your word.
I do not shrink from your judgments, because you yourself have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste. They are sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Through your commandments I gain understanding. Therefore I hate every lying way.
Our second reading comes from the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Here ends the reading.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It's pretty obvious here with all of the readings that the theme among all of them is wisdom. We heard that a couple of different times in all the readings, but I do want to focus on the gospel reading for a second because it's one of the stories that we think of as, you know, being about Jesus at a different age than the baby or or an adult, and so we think of it as an interesting little look into some of the days when he was younger, but I think that there's a lot here as far as wisdom's concerned, and I think that there's a lot here for us, especially moving into this new year, and a lot of times this time of year we think about resolutions and ways that we can better ourselves and everything. I think that there is kind of a message here for that. So some of the things I do want to point out about the reading that are in here that I've overlooked before personally. So this is kind of a little bit of a confession as well. I always thought of this story in terms of Jesus' parents finding out that he wasn't there, feeling bad about themselves. They go and they realize, well, he's God, so he's there teaching, obviously. And I never really looked at it to focus on Jesus. I know that that's bad, but I never really did that before. But as I've started to do that here recently, Jesus wasn't really left behind. He purposefully stayed there, even though he knew that they were leaving. As they were all getting together and leaving, Jesus stays. Not his parents left him, and then he walked around a little bit, and then when he, you know, didn't have any money for the market, he went to the temple. He stayed there purposefully. And then we see Jesus' interaction with the teachers, and if we read what it says there, that's a really interesting interaction. It's a give and take a little bit. And then we can see Jesus' interaction with his parents. And all of this, I think, comes together to show Jesus' priorities, especially in terms of wisdom. So, I think by looking at these different things in this specific story that we all know, we can learn a lot about being wise ourselves, prioritizing the way Jesus does. How can that happen? Let's think about this. Jesus basically tells us to focus ourselves on what he tells us to in the other places of Scripture, the kingdom of God, loving our neighbor. But here at the age of 12, he shows us that. He tells us with his actions. But we can try to take the same kind of actions. But this can get a little confusing. It can get a little bit muddy. And so don't think that I'm telling you not to do good things. I am telling you to do good things. But what I'm actually saying here is do the things that God says are best, even if it means not doing other good things. Do the things that God says are best, even if that means we don't do good things. I'm not going to sit here and list a bunch of different things from my life or your lives, but there's a lot of good things that we need to do. But if we kind of bog ourselves down with good things, we might not do the best things because we don't have an infinite amount of time and energy. But let's think about how to prioritize this. Jesus knows that you leave Jerusalem, but he stays behind. And when he stays behind, he doesn't do the very good thing of following your parents out of the temple or the Kmart, right? And so his parents actually go through a lot. They said, "We've been in great distress." They did not like that experience. I'm sure that they thought about the angels that came to them and thought, the whole world is riding on this person, and we lost him. But that's not really the focus here. And Jesus, in doing what he did and staying behind to do what was best, he didn't necessarily do that to hurt his parents. And that's where I think the interaction with them comes in. If you see how he interacts with the teachers, he's sitting among the teachers and he's listening to them and he's asking them questions. But then everyone around is amazed, not at his questions, but at his understanding of all the things that they're talking about and at his answers to their questions or his answers to what was going on. They're amazed at his understanding. So obviously, he's being asked questions too. And if we really look at those two sentences there, there's this give and take. He's asking questions. He's giving answers as well. And everyone around is amazed by that. I don't think it's hard to see here that Jesus thought it was best to remain there with those people discussing things about God and who God is and Jesus coming later to do his ministry. I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that he might have planted some seeds in those teachers and all the people around that were still going to be there years later when he comes back to minister. If that's the case, then by Jesus staying behind, he may have planted seeds that began to grow, and then when he comes back for his ministry, he was able to help them out even more. If that's the case, then Jesus really wasn't just being a kid and being absent-minded. He was planting seeds for the kingdom specifically. When he comes back to minister, great crowds are following him. How many of those people that were in day one that he began to minister and were part of his crowds were there that heard him as a child or were influenced by other people telling them what Jesus had said? I think he did a lot of good by staying behind and answering questions and asking questions and planting seeds. If that's the case, and that's what God says is best to do, is to love him with our whole self and to love our neighbors as ourselves by caring for them and teaching them the truth and answering their questions and asking questions and living with them, then didn't Jesus do what was best at that time by focusing on the kingdom, even when it was not doing the good thing of following his parents? And I think that later on here, it shows us that as well, because it doesn't say that Jesus didn't listen to his parents, and when they came back, he scolded them and said, "Leave me here, come back and get me next Passover." It says that when they said, "We were in great distress," he calmed them by saying, "What were you looking for me for? Didn't you know I would be focused on what's best? Didn't you know that I would be doing this type of thing?" That may or may not kind of allude to the relationship that he had with his parents of being this child that was wise, and as they were raising him, he was helping to teach them. I got a 4.5-year-old who is not the Son of God, and I learn a lot from her. And so I think that Jesus' response there is actually a kind of a respectful thing that's saying, listen, I do, even at 12, have priorities, and those priorities are the ones that were given to me by God. And then he goes back with them and he's submissive to them, just so that we don't think that he is overthrowing the whole family dynamic or anything. He does go back and he is submissive to them, and he cleans his room when they ask him to. That type of thing, what the scriptures are saying. So how do we take those things and then apply them to our own wisdom? Well, we can prioritize God's priorities above our own, and we do need to do that. But in terms of this story, sometimes it does get muddy. Sometimes we don't do good things for other good things, and so it does get confusing. Throughout our lives, throughout the week, it can get pretty confusing. So I think what we read here is that we constantly ask ourselves, is this the best thing for me to do what's best, which is what Jesus commands me to do, to love God and love other people? Is this the best thing? Rest is a good thing. Rest is a great thing. But sometimes when we're tired, if we have an opportunity to minister to other people, to work for the kingdom, that might be better than rest at the time. Then we might be so tired that if we tried to help other people, we might just yell at them. In which case, for the good of the kingdom, rest might be best then. Like I said, I'm not going to give a bunch of specific examples. I'm not going to give you 3 easy points to go and do, like a self-help book, and if you just do those things, it's going to be good. No, this is an idea. Ask yourselves, this is a good thing to do, right? Yes. Is this the best thing right now, based on God's priorities, which is the kingdom and the spreading of the kingdom here? And if we're called to spread the kingdom, then we constantly have to think about, is this best for that, for our mission, for our goal? Time with your family is one of the most important things in your life. But if you never leave your house so that you can spend time with your family, is that best? No. You don't have You won't have any money to care for them. You're actually doing them a disservice. You won't meet any other people that you can share the gospel with and spread the kingdom. Spending time with your family is wonderful, but it's not best every second of every day. But when you come back home, and if you are with your loved ones, either at home or somewhere else, then it's not best to just ignore them and do a bunch of other things that are good, like cleaning or something like that. We have to constantly, with every moment, ask ourselves, is this what's best and not just a good thing to do? I think if we can do that, we would be some of the wisest people on earth. I think that is one way that we can get to true wisdom. I think if we were all to do that, to constantly ask ourselves, is this a good thing or is this the best thing right now based on God's priorities of spreading the kingdom? I think people would look at us and think, wow, just the way that they live their lives, the things that they do, it's just very odd and it's very wise. And I wouldn't put it past people to ask us who are doing that, like, how are you constantly just helping out your neighbors so much? How are you constantly just so different from the world? They would come to us for wisdom and we could simply say, we're just doing what Jesus did as a kid. We're just focusing on God's priorities and then we're just applying that to every situation we come to. So let's try to do that. Like I said, not a self-help book, not, you know, 21 simple rules for having a better year. It's just one thing. Focus on God's priorities and every moment ask, is this good or is it best? And then let's do what's best in every situation. Amen. Let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all of their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Again, we invite all baptized Christians to share in this communion with us. And if you need a gluten-free option, we do have that. Just let us know.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Now go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.